Hello. Welcome to Stream Our Consciousness. You are here with Gabby Milano, aka Lollygabber, and
Anna, Anna, whichever you desire. Yeah, we're here.
So,
welcome 2021.
Welcome 2021. So, if you are here, you're probably looking for some philosophy. So, you're probably wondering, what is Ghana gonna philosophize about today? Well, the best thing about philosophy is that we can philosophize about anything we want. So, what are we gonna do today? Philosophize about the history of pornography. And what does that mean? Basically, we're gonna get deep into the metaphysics of how pornography even came to be in our society, so normalized. Anna, what do you think about this?
And when we think about pornography, we think about the internet. And the internet is kind of our life every day. The internet is kind of this alternate reality that we all exist in. Well, at least the people who do choose to exist in it. And pornography is basically what allows you to use the internet, what allows companies like Instagram to tell you, hey, that nipple violates our guidelines.
We ban you.
We ban you. We remove your account. We remove your art. And that's why on Twitter, you can see anything you want to see. So why is that? Why are certain things censored and not censored? And we're going to philosophize about pornography, not in the dirty kind of way that you might expect, but more in the perspective of pornography itself as content, as information, because pornography is what laid the ground rules for all of information on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd go into that, especially with new things going on in the news, as we'll later get on into this episode. Pornography does play a big role in our everyday lives, not just as someone who uses it, frankly, but just in, you know, like I said, information. So take a trip with us as we discuss the philosophy of pornography, but in the realm of informational law and its metaphysics and how it created our reality.
The only thing I know in this world are words, so that's the only thing I could tell you.
Floor of the Senate in 1995. And James Exon, a Republican from Nebraska, came through with a giant binder of porn to the Senate floor and was like, look at this. This is demonic.
What is this blasphemy?
What is this? And anyone can access this? We need to do something about it. So, this James Exon guy, this senator, was like, how do you handle this? How do I handle having this illegal information out to the public that my children, my holy children, will be able to see? So he was like, we need to censor this. Government needs to step in. And that's how this James Exon, that's what kind of gave birth to the topics we're going to be discussing today. And so he wanted to clean up the internet, and he thought the government should do it and should regulate it. And so he created an amendment to the Communications Act and called it, the amendment was Communications Decency Act. And he was like, government will be regulating pornography, and it will make it illegal. It will make it illegal, and it will make companies viable. And now we come to two members of Congress, Cox and Wayden. They came back and they said, hey, you government trying to regulate our information is a violation of our First Amendment rights. And so there, this entire debate that still goes on today is discussed. So from there on came the law of Section 230. Is it Section 230? Section 230? Section 3? No, yeah, Section 230. And Section 230 is what the government came up with, United States government came up with, on how to deal with information and content. But as companies grew and grew and grew, you know, they kept saying, hey, government trying to, you know, government hands off. And that's a key distinction we want to talk about is, you know, Republicans want less control of government and Democrats want less control from government and Democrats want more control, or at least more regulations, kind of what the two parties kind of go back and forth from. And from there, they are like, we want government hands on. And some people say, hey, we want government hands off. Section 230 was created, and companies are going to be held liable for the information that they post. And they have to be held liable in a certain amount of ways. But again, companies, there's so much information out there. How can you just comb through it all and censor it all and do it all if everyone has the right to their First Amendment? And so that's kind of how companies get away with it. It's kind of, it works as both a sword and a shield. It's, you know, they have the power to take down whatever they want, and they're shielded from any form of liability. So they don't have to, you know, own up to what they censor, what they don't censor. They basically just have that power in their hands. And that all came from this binder porn that James Exon, who probably jerked off to it and printed it out afterwards. So yeah. Like, Jeff was enjoying it.
How did you find this, James?
What were you doing? Studying this witch? How did you curate a binder of porn? Yeah, exactly. Like, this guy curated a binder of porn. Like, yeah. And now we get here to Section 230. And Section 230, as the internet grows and grows and grows, and especially in terms of content and information as we're all online, it's getting more and more pressing to look at and more interesting. And why? Because Trump administration, every person of power is always like, hey, we would like to change Section 230, or we would like to revoke Section 230. The debate has been there since the Clinton administration. And they want to regulate this so badly because we see that with Section 230, although it protects our right to create whatever we want to create on the internet, it does come with its consequences. It is its double-edged sword. It is, you get issues. And so, especially when it comes to sex and online dating, especially in terms of app, like using apps and searching up on Pornhub, all of those big details are being changed because how Section 230 comes to the forefront each case by case. And it's very unique and it changes case on case. And like, one of the cases I wanted to talk about was the Grindr case.
Now, this Grindr case hopefully doesn't scare you from making an online profile, because this is some intense stuff. If you have a revenge ex like this, I'm so sorry, because this is what happened. Okay. these people broke up, right? And this guy's ex-boyfriend created an account under his ex-boyfriend's name, pretending it's him, and creating his profile, saying that he loves rape fantasies. He wants to fuck. He wants to just fuck. And I want you to fuck me, all this stuff. Now, this gets dangerous because what does he put on the profile? His address, his work, all his private information is just out there for strangers to see. Now, what happens to this ex-boyfriend that doesn't even know this profile is up on Grindr? He gets, at times, like 30 people coming to his house, to his work, asking to have sex, wanting to fuck him. It can become dangerous. Because if you say online that you want it, and then you see that person online, you, who knows what they're going to do to you? Who knows? So, basically, this guy was like, obviously, who's responsible? Grindr. Grindr is the platform that is allowing for this to happen. What do? You contact the company. What does Grindr do? This is off of my hands. Section 230. This is all warped up into Section 230. No, I mean, this is where the philosophical question comes into tax. Because obviously, this is a court case. Obviously, there's going to be lawyers fighting for each side. Now, this is where the question comes up. This entity of the internet gave birth, basically, to all these platforms, right? Humans are using the internet and just doing whatever they want with it. Now, these platforms that these humans made and they have in their hands, they don't know the half of it. This is obviously not Grindr's intention, but when they're not in control of all the users out there and all their intentions, there's only so much that they can do. That's the dangers of the internet, and that's what James, this is why this is a question that always comes up when you're talking about Section 230, because there's no one responsible, and I mean, the only way we could do this, figure it out, is just court, case by case.
Yeah, and one of the lawyers of that Grindr case was like, Section 230 isn't protecting our First Amendment rights, because again, the question is, oh, First Amendment rights, people are allowed to do whatever they want to do or whatnot. But the liability comes from like, hey, Section 230 is not necessarily protecting the user or protecting the freedom of speech granted to the user. It's actually protecting the entire industry of the internet, the entire platforms, the billions of dollars, all of the money these platforms are making from. And from there, not only does it come from these platforms we're talking about, dating sites and fake accounts and whatnot, but it comes to these platforms such as social media in general, and social media and giant tech companies, and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And then it takes it a step further when it comes to when you're looking at it as information, as content, it becomes like a whole other issue when that information and that content is fake news, is propaganda, is, you know, just misinformation that is being widely spread and widely accessed to the public.
And it's allowed.
And it's allowed out there.
And the only way you're going to know the truth, it's a case-by-case thing. Some person might intake the information and that's, oh, this is the truth. But then some other people intake the same information and then look up other sources, compare it to the other sources, compare it to the other platforms.
Exactly. So it's exactly as Gabby said. We gave birth to this entity and we didn't put in some form of correct legislation.
No morality.
To help deal with it, because we really couldn't foresee what it was about to do. You think in 1995 they would think, oh shit, if we don't fix this now in 2016, a giant election might be completely skewed, you know? Mm-hmm. Or a platform couldn't help create an insurrection, you know what I mean? Or a president couldn't tweet harmful things on Twitter. You know, it's just kind of wild, really, really wild, the internet, because it is, like I said at the beginning, it is a reflection of our reality. So if our reality itself is regulated and dealt with, and the internet is just kind of like up to you, up to the company's guidelines, up to the company's lawyers, case by case,
what do Grindr say? What is their guidelines?
Well, that's what was argued in the court case. You know, I assume they were like, we don't have any responsibility. We're not liable. You know, that's the thing, is like, we can't be liable to the extent that you're holding us to. Yeah. Maybe they can be liable in certain ways. Like they will take down the accounts. They will get those things done. But that's all we can really, really do. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was a really, really interesting thing. And as I said, that, you know, the internet reflects our reality. When it comes to information and censorship, as you know, these giant tech platforms like Facebook are all being held on trial and were being held on trial in Congress. And you see them having to come to the forefront and face government. And then government is facing it back with like, well, we don't know what to do. Like, who are we to say? Like, there's so much information out there. How do we comb through everything specifically? That's why companies right now are doing the best to make their own guidelines, to make their own and make them as strict as possible to actually uphold them. That's why Instagram is, you know, no nipples on Instagram, which is really unfortunate. So that's kind of where that comes from. And as we discuss the internet, an entity being the reflection of our reality, therefore making itself its own reality, what does that reflection then tell us back about our society and our rules on sex law? Because if this all came from pornography and sex law, mm-hmm. how does that reflect our reality? The fact that, like, you know, is sex work in our reality as well protected as it could be? And the answer is no. Nevada is the only state where prostitution is legal. Sex work is not protected in general, you know? So therefore, when you translate that onto this giant entity and you're like, there's no law there either, it's unregulated, it's not protected, then everything else in that kind of flows through that. Because that's the lens that you're viewing it in. And I think that's just very interesting. And as you know, in recent news, Pornhub has recently taken down most of its unverified content. Why? Because Pornhub was dealing with the liability of other major issues that are bigger than the use of information, but get to human trafficking, get to child porn, get to all of the darker things that pornography is associated with, which is why it's kind of pushed to say, hey, this should be illegal. And so it's kind of what we're coming at is, you know, how the internet, and it's really just not a great way of regulating it, is really affecting our daily lives. Because as the lawyer said from Grindr, this is not protecting an individual. It's protecting an industry. And what is that industry protecting? It's its profit. And I think that's what's super fascinating, is that these platforms create their own economies, create their own influx of money. There's so much. Yeah, you know why Section 230 hasn't been revoked or completely changed? Because there's billions of dollars on the line. There's so much money at stake from being able to use Section 230 as its double-edged sword, as its sword and as its shield.
That guy, James, did not come with that binder with the intention of saying, all these girls in these binder, all these naked girls, their identities are out there. Their faces, their identities, someone could track them down. He didn't go with that. No, the intention was to save the companies and when their customers were looking at whatever was on their website, to save the company's ass if something happened. Not to save the people that are using the website
That was his intention. It was like, I'm going to save the individual.
Oh, really?
Because he was like, I don't want my daughters looking at porn or like my children looking at porn. He was like,
what individual? The porn star or the daughter looking at it?
The daughter looking at it.
Exactly. So it's like, you know what I mean? His intention was not for the person's like personal information out there to protect them. It's like, no, to protect everyone else.
And that is why I was like, it's a reflection of our real society. We don't care about protecting porn. We don't care about protecting sex workers.
No, they're just a sex image on the computer.
Yeah, it's like what we enjoy to see. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, oh shit, we should, if we shouldn't be looking at it in the first place. And it's like, no. No, it's a very fascinating and interesting subject. And again,
wanting to erase it rather than talk about it.
Yeah, and it's really prevalent in the news. You'll constantly hear about Section 230, and you'll constantly hear about how Section 230, its change or its revocation, is going to impact the internet because it is its foundational law.
Yeah.
And so, hey, when you're looking at Pornhub, know that that's the basis of all, but it's not necessarily Pornhub, but just looking at porn in general. That's the basis of our internet law.
And why freedom can also be harmful.
And that's why,
yeah.
And like freedom is not really freedom. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, you want to have the freedom to
know what are the guidelines of the freedom.
Exactly. Freedom is with guidelines, always. Freedom is not the simple existence of just, yes, accessing it and then not accessing it. It comes with guidelines. And so I think that's kind of what scares people, because we're conditioned to be like, oh, we must protect our freedoms. We must protect our rights that we wrote down. But yeah, when you're birthing a new entity, those freedoms get really skewed really easily.
Well, I think that's why it's so important to look at the guidelines of each platform. And that's why OnlyFans blew up, because all of these sex workers felt trust in the guidelines of OnlyFans, knowing that their content is their content. No one's going to steal it. And I can make it when I want to. I don't have to go through like a manager at Pornhub or something, or get a deal or all this stuff. No, I could just go from my phone, make my own account, make my own videos, do my own stuff. And it's me. But also, like, I know even with the guidelines of like OnlyFans, I know you know a little bit more, you know a lot bit more of the law of the OnlyFans, but you could still take that content.
Yeah, it's like, it's again, it's a reflection of how federally not well protected sex law is. So that's going to translate on some extent to the internet. And vice versa. And so I think especially, you know, as strip clubs are closed and we can't go clubbing, you know, like, or just like anything in general, that's kind of why sex work has played so much of a bigger role on the internet, especially, you always get like, it's just kind of like, sex is a really, like, pornography is a really big, plays a huge impact in our lives. I don't know. It's just something I wanted to talk about. And again, Section 230. Interesting stuff. And, you know, same goes for Facebook. Same goes for tech companies, not just in porn. They're like, hey, we're not liable. We can do what we want. And that's kind of where it comes into issue. Because people start exploiting that freedom and then start profiting off of that freedom. Because you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do on the internet, basically.
And let's keep it that way, honestly.
That's interesting.
I mean, I know. I mean,
The fact that, like, OnlyFans is so normalized just makes me so curious. I feel like it is something to trust. I haven't read the guidelines. I don't know. I thought it would be good, and I thought it would be protective, but then I saw, like, a Tana Mojo interview, and she said that she hires a team of people to go through the internet to take off all the uncensored photos of her that she released on OnlyFans that got out into the internet stream. So it's like, I don't have a team for that. How would I don't even know if it would be out there. That's the problem. If I would make this account and I would do my thing, I wouldn't know if there was other pictures of me out there in the world, because I don't, what am I going to look up? Like, what do you look, they don't know my name. What are you going to look up? Where does that go? It can go to another country. Who knows?
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing with internet, is that, you know, it's global. It's a whole other, like, we're just talking domestic playing field. When you go, you level up to the international playing field, that's a whole other world. That's a whole other world in terms of WhatsApp, with people starting, people organizing revolutions on social media. Refugees and technology is a huge intersecting concept of anthropology and economics. And so how governments regulate that, how international governments regulate that, some people, you know, completely ban it. You know, that's why China doesn't have TikTok, even though does China have TikTok? Or I know it's Chinese, but does it actually allow that on its platform? No, it does. I think it does. It does.
That's messed up. Imagine, like, your country creates this app that everyone in the world loves, and then
you can't use it
in your own country.
I don't know if that's true, but, you know, any platform that, you know, is censored by any government. And so it just makes you think of that is an actual index. That is an actual, you know, thing. It's called, like, the index of freedom, and, like, your freedom, you know, how that varies. But then not only does it talk about, like, it's talking about freedom, but it's also talking about protection. It's talking about accountability and, like, reliability of this power thing we have, like, in our hands, you know, like, this is our, like, all our alternate universe.
And we have no choice, to be honest. We have, like, this, I put all my passwords in this, I put all my photos, my whole life is in this. So, and I know, and we're so aware, we're talking about it. Oh, it's not private. You don't have it to yourself. That's a little freaky how we are, our privacy is not actually private.
Yeah, out of Instagram guidelines, they're allowed to look at your phone. They're allowed to look.
I'm not going to stop taking pictures of myself and be like, oh my God, who can see this? I have no choice. I want to still take pictures. I want to still put all my information, all our videos on this. I'm going to still do it.
I'm going to put myself out there.
Sometimes that turns me on.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's watching? What FBI person's watching today?
All the time.
That's how you got to look at it.
Yeah, you're the star of the show, baby.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're watching me today? Thank you.
Please don't look at the folder typed conspiracies in my Google Drive. Thanks.
Yeah, I shouldn't put my passwords on my Google Doc, top secret codes.
Yeah, you can't put conspiracy theories and codes on there.
Oh my goodness.
You can distract them in other ways. But yeah, so that's kind of, as Donnie was saying, nothing's really private. And privacy is a very scary thing. And my friend and I were recently talking about the whole legal battle between Apple and Facebook. You know, Facebook wants to use a certain amount of data from the user. And Apple is like, like specifically from Apple users. And Apple's like, what do you mean? That's our data. You can't just have it. Just because people use my device to go on your platform doesn't mean you get to have the data we have for you. And Facebook is like, no, we need that data. And then AOC will put Mark Zuckerberg on trial and say, Mark, why do you need all this data? And that's where it comes in. And that's kind of where these legal battles come from, is our privacy, our freedom, and our pornography.
You know what? Apple Music can take my data any day. They make the best playlist for me.
I love that.
They make the best like friends playlists. They like, we took all all your friends' songs that they were listening this week and we made them into one playlist. And I'm like, whoa, cool. So then when I literally put it on the car with like one of my friends, like, wow, this is like the best music. Like, who are you hanging out with? I'm like, this is just a combination of all our friends' music.
I love that. Yeah.
So it's like low-key creepy, but I love it because they know me so well. Like my favorites mix goes from like old time music to like lo-fi beats to rap music to everything, because they know what I want. Why? Because they have all my data. They know what I want to listen to on my way to work. They know what I'm listening to when I work out. They know my moods.
Yeah. Data is big. Data is big. It's really fascinating. It shapes like our internet shapes us all, like our stupid little phones that have a little camera that can see what we're doing all the time. You know, whether you like it or not, it's going to impact what you buy, you know, what you listen to, what you eat, where you go, and what porn you get to look at.
Basically, that's what we have for you. We just wanted you guys to know where the root of this freedom came from.
The root, the foundational law of the internet. Exactly. That's what, you ever stop and think, stop and smell the roses, stop to smell the freedom, stop to really think about it. Just, you ever take a moment while you're scrolling through everything and you're like, where does this, how is this existence? And then you think about it and it's section 230 and our foundational law.
And are we the gods of the internet?
I think we are.
Wow. We can't even control exactly like God.
They control us. Control
us. They can give us signs, try to, you know, give us the right tools, but God cannot control what we want to do. Same thing as the internet. We are the gods of the internet, but we cannot control what the other people within the internet are going to do.
Yeah, I think that's like a great philosophy question, is like the basis of freedom of speech, you know, and like doing whatever humankind wants to.
Yeah.
I think that's like the biggest foundational of human nature. Mm-hmm. Not only a foundational of internet law, but human nature.
Yeah, I think we cracked the code, Anna.
I think we cracked the code.
Did we crack the code? Who really knows? I don't really know who cracked the code. All right. Well, it's hard because it's not like we have an answer for you for anything. It's just we're like, all right, this is this information. You deal with it the way you want to deal with it, you know?
Yeah, learn something new every day. A new perspective is formed always. Question everything. Make sure you question what you're scrolling through. What are those guidelines?
And also, no, where do you find the guidelines? Like, we don't even know.
I don't know. They usually send you a notification and you usually just click through it.
And yeah, you accept everything
away your life too.
We're basically signing our soul every day. We accept this.
Yeah, every single day you open up Instagram, like, it can look through your camera and like look at your life, yeah, and read your face and read your psychology and read and understand that and make sense of it. And then when, you know, that's kind of a little ending note, is That's why platforms constantly change. Like, platforms are changing their algorithms, they change their pages, they change everything. Why? Because they're studying our psychology.
Exactly.
They're studying you very, very closely. So feel extra special. But yeah, besides that, you're just one speck of a massive data that they're basing their entire little economies over. You know, the Instagram economy, the Facebook economy. Those all generate a lot of money. Follow the money, I guess. Sounds a little crazy. But we're just crazy enough. Thanks for tuning in to all our loyal followers.